Peace and blessings, everyone. I'm Aziza, and welcome to another episode of Truth Be Bold. I have a very special guest with me today, someone who has been one of my most popular guests, and that is Dr. Faiz Kirsten. It has been a while. I don't even know how long it's been. Maybe, was it the beginning of the year, Dr. Kirsten? Was the end of last year?
It's a good question. I think it was the end of last year, quite honestly. I'm not sure, actually.
maybe around November or December. But either way, we've been coordinating back and forth, on and off. Dr. Kirsten is very busy, so I'm grateful that he is here with us today to kind of give us an update on what he's been doing. And also, when we were trying to coordinate, he mentioned, hey, I have this time slot this Thursday at this time. I want to talk about this. And I said, okay, let's do it. I'm going to follow your lead. So here we are. Dr. Kirsten, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Aziza, Sister Aziza, and to your listeners also. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran for having me. I appreciate it.
It's an honor.
I couldn't make it earlier, but it's been so hectic these last few months. But alhamdulillah, we're here today. So inshallah, we can have a good chat. Yeah.
And I do want to say this before you get started. You are one of the few people that is actually putting things in action. Most are just talk. Most people are just talking about it. And I want to emphasize this to listeners, because I don't think people understand that. There are people out there who are putting it on the line, literally putting it all on the line for humanity. And in the cause of justice, true justice, not this, mythical term that people like to use. So I just wanted to say that, because I think it's so important. Everyone I've had on is putting on the line somehow. But you and Dr. Omar, Dr. Yahia in particular. So thank you.
No, you're very welcome, and shukran for your kind words. I appreciate it. It's about principle. At the end of the day, that's what Islam is about. It's about principle. Sadly, I heard a sheikh one day, just recently in Cape Town, say in the masjid that it's about self-preservation. You got to preserve your life above all else. That's why you must take all these measures against the virus and so forth that the shaitan are recommending. But Islam is not about self-preservation. Your life actually comes second to principle. Principle comes first. Quran tells us that. Stand out for justice. Principle of justice, freedom, truth, honesty. In fact, self-preservation is actually the first tenet of Satanism. So actually,
yes. Humanism, so Satanism, all of it. Yeah. Self-preservation.
So your sheikhs are now promoting Satanism in the masajids. That's unbelievable, but it's happening.
Yeah. I don't know if they know it or not, but it's incredible the things that we're hearing, taking hadith and, just certain principles of Islam out of context. And people are ignorant because they don't read themselves. They're waiting for someone else to give them the knowledge. So they just go along with it.
Absolutely. It is about ignorance. A lot of it has to do with arrogance also. I find people don't want to hear the truth. They whether it's doctors or religious leaders, the man in the street, it's about satanic mind control. Unfortunately, it seems as if most of the global population is under satanic mind control, because the third pillar of Satanism is about arrogance, social Darwinism, looking down upon people, thinking you're superior, not accepting the truth when it reaches you. Iblis, it's basically Iblis arrogance, and people have been programmed like that. Now they hold that belief and it comes out in their behavior. And I keep telling people, I was trained to help people with physical illness, and if there's something wrong with your physiology, your physical body, or even mental illness, psychological illnesses, psychiatric problems, I've been trained to treat that. But only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help you if you have a spiritual disease. If it's a disease of your spiritual heart, such as arrogance and pride, nobody can help you with that. So you need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, in that regard. But nobody can help you with that. And I've come to learn that over the years, Honestly, I've come to learn that. It's just that you can talk and talk and talk, and doctors will still keep prescribing these deadly bioweapons called COVID vaccines, for example.
So can you tell us what you've been up to over the last few months? I know you've been super busy. You've been out on the front lines. So can you tell us a little bit about that? What you're allowed to share, please.
Yeah, no, sure, absolutely. As you know, I've been watching this agenda unfold for many, many years, researching and watching it unfold, looking out for the messages that these shaitans put out and telling you what they're going to do. A lot of people don't see the messages, but they put it out there. So mm-hmm. I would tell people this is going to happen. This is what the agenda. Believe you. I mean, as we just said that just now, you're a conspiracy theorist, blah, blah, blah. They don't do their own research to see to verify whether what you're saying is true or not. They just reject it out of hand. But what happened last year when they announced this lockdown, this scamdemic? I thought, oh, okay, here we go, not another one. Another fake pandemic, because there have been many fake pandemics, but this was a big one because they had locked almost the whole world down, you know? So this was something huge. I knew this was something huge. So I stopped writing these two books. I wrote some other books in the past, but I was busy writing two books. I stopped that because I had to now verify whether this was true, what they were saying. So it took me about 7 or 8 weeks. And then I came to the conclusion that this is another scam. But this was a big one. This is a big one. So I labeled the findings of my presentation, and I went to 4 provinces, actually including this one where I live, to present my findings, my research findings. And the title of my presentation was... The COVID-19 Deception, a Major Strategic Move Towards the Technocratic Transhumanist New World Order. So this was a Hegelian dialectic. I realized that create a problem or the perception of a problem, people react, of course, and then you introduce your solutions, you know, which you couldn't have introduced all the measures that you wanted to, you know, bring about if you didn't have the problem or the perception of a problem. So I realized that now, obviously, this is the strategy they use over and over and over again, the Hegelian dialectic. Create a problem, get a reaction, introduce your so-called solutions. So obviously, they wanted to bring in many things, you know, via this scamdemic, vaccinate the whole, virtually the whole world, you know, and just change the entire world, reset the entire world. They call it the Great Reset. They've actually branded the New World Order the Great Reset. They're resetting everything, the economy, the financial system. They're resetting human beings also.
It's out in the open now.
Yeah, they're making you a transhuman. You know, they're changing your genetic makeup and so forth. So I went around and we did these presentations, and then I approached an attorneys last year. I realized, you know, what these vaccines are all about. When they introduced, when they announced it, that obviously everybody needs to be vaccinated now because there's a virus killing people. And so everybody needs to be vaccinated. So I studied what they put out, the information regarding these vaccines. And I came to the conclusion that these are not obviously vaccines. These are bioweapons of mass destruction. And so I told my family, my friends, people, patients, I said, anybody who takes these injections, these vaccines, that's the end of the road for them. Now, I didn't know at the time that they were also going to have placebo. Obviously, we realized there are placebos. You know, there are saline injections that some people are getting.
And they've revealed that. I've found a few articles from just random places around the world. Oh, there was a mix up.
So I said, anybody who takes these injections, these vaccines, you know, I'm talking about now, what the poisons basically, they're gonna get really sick and die. So I labeled these vaccines the mother of all vaccines. I said, this is the mother, because I'd studied vaccines in the past and I spoke about vaccines on the radio, just in general, you know, and I realized, you know, vaccines are not there to help children and to help people prevent illness and so forth. It's actually there to create chronic illness and to harm and kill. But when I studied these injections, you know, these COVID vaccines last year, I said, that's it. This is the mother of all vaccines. Because, you know, the mother of all bombs, the one they dropped on Afghanistan, huge bomb quite a few years ago. They call that the mother of all bombs. And I said, okay, this, if anybody takes this, people are going to die in large numbers. And it's even worse now. You know, now that I've got more information now with the graphene that I come to realize is in these vaccines, and how it works with electromagnetic radiation. Because one of the things I presented on my tour around these different provinces, I presented many studies that I came across that I have found in my research on electromagnetic radiation, and especially 5G, how it works and how it can damage biological systems. And So I knew the damaging effect of electromagnetic radiation even before last year, because I had spoken on this on the radio a couple of years ago, the dangers of electromagnetic radiation. So I knew about that, and then I'd researched that. But now, knowing with the graphene and the interaction between graphene and 5G, I think I must change the name from the mother of all vaccines to some other name, because it's actually worse than the mother of all vaccines now. It's something even way worse. And this month, apparently, the 5G Starlink satellite system is going to be activated. And people who have been vaccinated with these graphene nanoparticles, nanotechnology, once this graphene is activated by the 5G, then I think you're going to see a lot of people dying, you know, in mass. I hope I'm wrong. I keep telling people, I certainly hope I'm wrong, you know. But this is the science. This is what, you know, what we've uncovered and what people are talking about in terms of the people who have done the research. I'm talking about now the Spanish group. I never heard of La Quinta Columna, the Spanish research group who actually discovered the graphene in these injections. So anyway, so coming back to last year, we spoke to an attorney to send a letter to the chief trial investigator, yeah, Professor Muddy, who's running the trials here in South Africa, asking him to explain to us what the ingredients are in these injections. And the letter is out there. Everybody can read it. About 32 questions, I think it was 32 questions. He just didn't want to answer the questions. He said he doesn't have to answer them, which I suppose is right. He doesn't have to. So he didn't answer it. But slowly, information is coming, you know, to the fore as to what is actually in these vaccines. What is in these injections and not vaccines. So that happened. And then what happened, I sent out a public letter in January calling for the stopping of this rollout of this experimental vaccination program. I actually put a letter out there, public letter. But the government still went ahead and rolled it out, you know, and a lot of people are getting injured now and quite a few have died already. What else happened? Oh, yes. Then I was approached by Ricardo Marmán. I don't know if you heard of Ricardo Marmán.
No, I haven't.
Ricardo, he had tried to get information using the Freedom of Information Act last year regarding the isolation of the virus. So he asked government, you know, to show him evidence that the virus exists. And obviously I knew that the virus doesn't exist because I've done the research. That's why I call it the COVID-19 deception. And the beginning of this year, February, March, I can't remember, a few months ago, he approached me to say, look, hey, this is what he's doing. He's heard about me and so forth. He went to the Constitutional Court, but they refused him access. They told him to go to the High Court. The High Court can deal with the matter. And he asked me to work with him on the case. I said, look, I've already approached lawyers regarding the vaccine and so forth. And I know there's no evidence that the virus exists, but certainly I'm happy to work with you because we need to have it a legal order, you know, that in fact this virus doesn't exist. So we went to court, application was made and went to the High Court in May, the 27th of May, the hearing was on the 27th of May. And the judge ruled that in fact, there's not an urgent matter because it was an urgent application. The judge ruled it's not an urgent matter. The government affidavit was very sad. It was quite crazy. You know, they claimed they isolated the virus, but in fact they didn't. The professor claimed that in his affidavit, absolutely didn't isolate the virus at all. Talk about a PCR test, culturing of material and so forth. That's not the way you isolate the virus. Because the virus has never been isolated and it's been proved to be a fraudulent claim because Dr. Stefan Lanka, just a few months ago, did the first control study after John Enders in 1954 when it comes to viral isolation. And he found, you know, in his control study that in fact, he found exactly the same results that these scientists who claim in written papers that they've isolated virus actually found. So he used no material from any patient and still got a cytopathic effect, which they call a cytopathic effect, which they claim the virus is the responsible for killing the cells. He found exactly the same effect, but without any material from any patient, you know, just using the ingredients that they use in their studies. So it's been fraudulent claims. And so now our case was dismissed. And so we're going back to the Constitutional Court, you know, in a few weeks' time, inshallah. And so that's where we are at the moment. In the meantime, I've been doing a lot of talks, a lot of webinars, lots of information, education, and so forth. And yeah, there's been lots of, in fact, there's a big protest now on Saturday regarding the vaccines here, the vaccine rollout and so forth. So that's where we are at the moment, Aziza. I'm planning some workshops also. And we'll see where we go. Yeah. And also in the meantime, seeing all my patients and so forth, you know, so it's quite hectic. I'm trying to finish my books. I'm never going to finish them this year, but inshallah, we'll see.
So what has the response been? I know when we talked in the past, I mean, it was as expected, but now have you noticed perceptions changing? Because when I reflect on, you know, our interviews, everything that you said has happened.
And my daughter also says to me the other day, yeah. Dad, everything you said is true. It came true. How did you do that? Anyway, go ahead. This is exactly what you said now. Alhamdulillah, yeah. You know, it's a guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah.
Sorry, we have a guest in here.
We have a guest. No, I have a little granddaughter also.
So have you seen a difference in people? Like,
I must say I have, Aziza. I must say I have. But there's still a lot of resistance. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, especially on the medical fraternity, you know, there's a lot of backbiting. People can't face you. They can't. They say a lot of things are behind your back. People send me posts that people are putting in other groups. I'm not even part of those groups. But some people who know me, they send me those posts. They look what they're saying about you in that post. This doctor said that. They never face you. When you resort to ad hominems, you attack the man, then that means you just don't have a case. You're not dealing with the merits of the issue, you know, the crux of the matter, the issues, the facts. You're not dealing with that. You're actually attacking the man. That means you have no case. Yeah. And this is a poor reflection on your mind rather than anything else, you know.
Exactly.
So that's some of that.
Yeah.
And your character, absolutely. So that's some of that, but that's par for the course. I mean, mm-hmm. I would be very surprised if that didn't happen.
Right.
Yeah. And overall, people are waking up. Alhamdulillah, yeah.
Alhamdulillah. And I have to ask you this. What did you hope to accomplish with this court filing? Was it just to like shed light on it? Because I mean, I'm sure you knew that they weren't going to produce anything because they don't have anything to produce. So was it just kind of for exposure for other people, or what was your intent?
No, look, everything flows from evidence. I mean, one of the most important verses in the Quran, I think, is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if anybody makes, and he says it with regards to another issue also, but this issue, he says, if anybody makes a claim that there's another God beside me, then Allah says in the Quran, you know, kul, he says, say, atu buranakum in kuntum sadikin. Say, provide your evidence if you are truthful. That's a very powerful statement, very powerful. If anybody makes a claim, then in order to maintain their credibility, they need to justify it with evidence. Otherwise, you just become a person with no credibility. So if I say to you, Aziza, the cow jumped over the moon, and then I just say that, and you say, what? I say, yeah, the cow can jump over the moon. You say, really? I say, yeah, the cow can jump over the moon. What would your next statement be, your next question be? You would say, show me the evidence. I don't believe that. Can you tell me, show me that the cow can actually jump over the moon? And I say, I don't have to show it to you. The cow can jump over the moon. That's it.
Trust me.
You just have to believe me. That's called scientism. You just have to believe me, the cow can jump over the moon, and don't ask me any more questions, because I'm telling you the cow can jump over the moon. Now, this is what we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. We are being told there's a virus that exists that's causing COVID, a condition called COVID-19. And that's it. Now, then you say, but show us the evidence. They say, look, there's all these papers that the scientists have written. So you read the papers and you see that they're basically making fraudulent claims. The funny part is, or the tragic part is, those very same scientists were approached after they published their papers and asked, did you really isolate the virus according to these scientific principles? And most of them said, no, we actually didn't. In writing, it's there. Now look at that. That's insanity. So in other words, the claim has been made, but no evidence provided. Everything flows from the evidence. So from the evidence, you're locking the whole world down. You're making people wear masks. You want to vaccinate them to illness and death, but saying it's a vaccine that's going to prevent you from getting the virus, which it doesn't do, or transmitting the whatever claims they're making about these injections. Everything is flowing from their claim that there's this virus causing this illness called COVID-19. But they haven't provided the evidence for that. So we need a court, the highest court in the land, to say these people haven't provided the evidence for the existence of this virus. So they are not justified in doing what they are doing. What they are doing is satanic. This is Satanism. This is called subjective morality. They do whatever they want to do, even if it's completely wrong. They act without any conscience. This is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with Satanism. And unfortunately, most of humanity seems to be programmed, you know, with satanic beliefs themselves, besides the globalists running the world, you know. So we're dealing with so that's why we're going to court to compel the government to provide the evidence for their claim. And if they can't, then the court must rule that this virus doesn't exist. There's no evidence for the existence of the virus. And the government is not justified in doing what it's doing. It's unconstitutional. It's illegal. It's morally wrong. It's bankrupt. You should stop doing what you're doing because you have no justification for doing that. So that's the real reason, Aziza. Yeah.
So do you think they'll keep stalling?
Sure, no doubt about that. This is how they operate. This is how they work, you know. This is how they work. Basically, diabolical minds. This is, you see, the mind is the primary plane of causality. Everything starts in the mind. And I'm a very strong proponent of natural law, spiritual law, God's law, divine law. And people always confuse law with instruction. So I say, look, the Quran is a book of education. It's a book of instruction. It's a book of, It's a manual, it's an instruction manual, but not only that, education and warning, also a book of warning and so forth. And so I say to people, so in the Quran, there's many instructions that the Almighty has given us, okay? He's given us instructions and we are expected to be obedient to those instructions, obey those instructions. But he's also given us free will, you know, free will to do what it, make our choice, you know? So a lot of people choose to disobey the instruction. If he says, eat what's lawful and good for you from the earth, and people just eat any junk, you know, that's what they do. He says, do not worship names. You know, people worship names. They worship their corporations, which is just a name which has been given, right? It's an idol, rights and authority. People worship names all the time. Their government is a corporation, their company, their bank, all their names, their doctor, you know, they're worshiping these things all the time. And the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't do that. People do it. So you have a free will to ignore or disobey God's instruction. But when it comes to the law, you don't have any say in the matter. The law, God's law, divine law, spiritual law, natural law, you can't escape it. It's binding. You can't escape it. No matter what, you just can't do it. It's just impossible. And you can't change it. It's the law. So if you disobey instruction, the consequence is negative, negative consequences. That's the cause of law, called the law of cause and effect, okay? Disobey instruction, the law kicks in, you have negative consequences. Obey instruction, you have positive consequences. So if the instruction is to eat what is lawful and good for you from the earth and don't follow in the footsteps of shaitan, but you decide you want to follow in the footsteps of shaitan, eat his processed junk food, his poisonous food, the law will kick in and you will get sick. Because the law doesn't state that you will get healthy by eating junk food, you know. and if you blaspheme, you commit shirk, you insult Allah, you insult the Almighty by blaspheming, worshiping names, worshiping idols, the law is that you will go to hell. Now that's the law, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says himself in the Quran, there's one sin he doesn't forgive, and that is blasphemy or shirk. So if you're worshiping idols, you're worshiping corporations, and you say you worship Allah at the same time, then you're committing shirk, you're taking a part with Allah, and the law is that you will go to, you'll be banished to Jahannam. That's the law, because Allah says, I won't forgive that sin, and you will go to Jahannam. So people don't understand the difference between law and instruction, and they just do whatever they want to do, and that's why the world is in such a chaotic state today, because the law is taking effect, you see. And until we understand that, you know, we're going to have a chaotic world, you know? So what can you do? People don't understand these things because there's been a failure of leadership. You know, religious leaders have failed their people completely because the globalist beast has captured organized religion a long time ago. It's captured academia, captured the corporate sector, captured the political sector, and captured organized religion. So you have people running your religion from within your own religion and actually misleading multitudes, basically. That's why we're in such a mess today. There's another point I wanted to make. I just forgot, but hopefully it'll come back. Yeah. Anyway.
I want to get a little technical here. So all of these, I don't want to call them adverse reactions because that's not what they are. These direct consequences of these witches brew, what is that? Is that related to 5G? Or what exactly is going on there with the myocarditis, the pericarditis, the neurological stuff going on? Can you explain that?
These are direct effects of the poisons in these so-called vaccines, in these injections, okay? Now, what we've come to, they have published, you know, some of the excipients or some of the ingredients, but they didn't obviously publish that there's graphene in these vials. That was discovered by the Spanish researchers just not too long ago.
Yeah, I saw that recently.
Yeah, but they have said it's a messenger RNA. And now there's six different ones that I'm very familiar with, you know, the Pfizer, the Moderna. Those are messenger RNA vaccines. Then AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, and the Gamaleya, those are viral vector vaccines. And then you have the other one, I think it's Sinopharm, which is almost like a traditional vaccine, which is an inactivated virus. I don't know what virus they're using.
I was going to ask you that.
But that's never been isolated. So what's been happening is they've been injecting people with this stuff. We didn't know there was graphene in it, but we knew there was messenger RNA in it, and they have found messenger RNA. So they say this messenger RNA will actually code for the spike protein. Now, I asked myself, if you haven't isolated the virus, how do you know what the code is for the spike protein? Because obviously the code is in the viral genome, and then that code is used to create the spikes on the viral capsule, basically spike protein. But how do they know that if they haven't isolated the virus? So why are they calling it a spike protein? So in my view, basically what's happening is they synthesize this messenger RNA, in other words, synthetic. It's not a real, it doesn't come from any biological entity. We make messenger RNA naturally, but they made it in the lab, so it's synthetic. They inject it with a code to code for a protein. It's a toxic protein. And then this toxic protein just causes havoc in your body, all right? But now obviously we know, come to know that it has graphene in it, okay? So there's nanoparticles help coating the RNA, and it's taking it in. And so this toxic protein is basically now causing havoc. It's causing clotting, it's causing a whole lot of stuff. We get together with the graphene, because graphene itself does all these things, causes cytokine storms and all of these things.
Okay.
So right? So besides this other stuff in these vaccines that's also causing, it's basically poisoning the body. It's violating your natural disposition, your fitra. If you're putting something unnatural in your body, you're going to get sick, right?
So it's a soft kill.
It's a soft kill. But what's happening? People have been poisoned with graphene for a long time, in the food, in the air. So a lot of people really have graphene in them. And they've all been exposed to radiation for a long time. So that's why people have also been getting sick from the interaction between the graphene that they have in them and the radiation. But what's going to happen now with the injections, you get a massive load of graphene plus the massive 5G activation, which is going to happen, which has been happening now. And it's going to happen in a bigger way, as I said, with this Starlink satellite activation system. And you're going to get even more people getting sick and getting sick in a more serious way. And obviously lots of deaths, okay, going to happen. But what they also tell me, and I was watching a pathologist say this the other day, that they're actually injecting the spike protein into you. So in other words, you are saying in the vials themselves, there's spike protein. Now, I haven't seen the evidence for that, but I heard him say it. He was giving a talk. And he says it contains the spike protein. So he says they're injecting the spike protein into you. I didn't realize that. I mean, I haven't seen any literature saying that there's actually spike protein in the vials before they inject it into you. And so they're injecting it into you. My understanding was that your body makes the spike protein, or what they're calling a spike protein, but it's actually just a toxic protein, once the messenger RNA is basically injected into you. right? And then it's distributed to different organs basically and causes clotting, microclots, and all these inflammation, as you're getting myocarditis and all of this crazy stuff happening to people, getting really sick and dying because they're being poisoned to death. You see, there's only two, three reasons why you get sick. One is you have a toxic, you have stuff in your body that shouldn't be there, toxins, right? That shouldn't be there, whether it's radiation or chemical toxins, or even your own thoughts, negative thoughts, that's psychological toxins, right? Shouldn't be there, but it's there. The other reason why you get sick is you're not getting enough of the nutrients in your body. The good stuff, nutrients, sunshine, love, relationships, that's not happening in your life. And so that's why you're getting sick. And you're not detoxing, you're not getting rid of the bad stuff. So what they're doing is they're poisoning you. They're basically overloading your system with toxins, with poisons, and you can't survive that. That's just against your natural disposition. You can't actually survive that. You'll get sick, and if you're lucky, you'll survive that sickness. If you detox, you can detox now, they say. There's been protocols that have been put out to detox from graphene and all the other poisons in your, you know, that they put in there. But I haven't actually seen any studies that prove that the detox protocols actually work, because they seem to have come out just recently. So I'd be looking out for those studies that prove that these detox protocols work. Some people say, I think I've seen one or two people say, yeah, they felt a bit better after using these protocols. So there's some hope there. But I don't know if I answered your question though, Sister Aziza.
You did, and I have a follow-up question. So people who haven't experienced, you know, anything yet, do you think that they may have received a placebo, or their effects will just, you know, come later down the road? Or is it, it's probably a mixed bag, is my assumption.
Yeah, no, I think you're right there, because some people would have gotten the placebo, so nothing would happen to them, you know. The experts are saying, the gurus, you know, they're saying that the average lifespan following the vaccine, the injection, is about 2 years, 2 to 3 years. That, you know, if you haven't gotten sick and died before that, you'll live to about 2 or 3 years. That's what they're saying. I don't know. We're not there yet. I mean, it's only a few months now. But a lot of people have gotten sick within days and within weeks, you know, and many have passed away. Although, obviously, they deny it. I mean, yeah, in South Africa, 28, 29 people died. And there was just an investigation now by SAHPRA, South African Health Profession. No, South African Health Products Regulatory Authority, SAHPRA. And I just read now, just today, that they said, no, the deaths were not related to the vaccination. Obviously.
Or they'll tell you that it's rare.
Or it's rare. Absolutely.
Until it happens to you, then it's not rare.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's crazy. So I started a WhatsApp group called COVID just the other day. COVID injection regret. COVID injection regret.
So it's a group called the COVID injection. I'm seeing that everywhere. Different groups pop up with, you know, this kind of thing.
Yeah. So just to see, you get people to come in there and discuss, you know, the experience and so forth. Yeah.
And what has been the response so far? You just started it yesterday, so you really haven't seen
it. No, I just started maybe 2-3 days ago, and I got on WhatsApp, I got like, within an hour, 2-3 hours, I got like almost 200 people. I was shocked, but yeah. And then on Telegram, I got about 40, 50 people. But the problem is a lot of these people weren't people who took the injection. They were people who were just very curious to know, you know, and I said to them, no, this group was actually just for people who took the injection and regret it. If you haven't taken the injection, you shouldn't be here. And second, if you took the injection and you don't regret it, then you also shouldn't be here. It's only for people who took the injection and regret it, and they want to discuss it with me from a medical perspective. I know I can give them advice and so forth. But also they want to discuss with other people what their experience was, you know. So we had to tell people, please you join my other group, which is The Truth About Vaccines on WhatsApp. I have another group. They're very popular. Truth About Vaccine South Africa. And that just goes crazy. There's lots of posting and discussion happening there on that group, on Telegram. Yeah.
So before we move into transhumanism, because I do really want to talk about that, but I had a question in regards to family members. Like, what kind of advice would you give people in that dynamic? You know, because I really see the great divide happening here. You have families that are just, you know, split down the middle over this.
Massively. It's a huge problem, Sister Aziza. It's a massive problem. Look, my advice to anybody asked me about, look, last year, towards the end of last year, and first and second month of this year, anybody who asked me about these injections, whether they should take it or not, I would say to them, you must look at what people on both sides of the fence are saying. Those are saying you shouldn't take these injections and why they're saying that. And those who are saying you should and why they're saying that. And when you look at both sides and what both are saying, and then you make up your own mind, right? So you make an informed decision. That's what I used to say. When I got more information about these bioweapons, and I call them bioweapons last year already, but I still gave them that advice. I said, make an informed decision, you know, look at both sides. But around about, I don't know, maybe March or April, I don't know, it's just a while back, I changed my mind because I gotten more information about these injections. And even now at the graphene that's come to light. And so I say to people, anybody asks me, I say to them, don't take these injections. That's my advice. Don't take it. I don't even say make an informed decision. I just say don't take it. Okay? Because if I tell him to make an informed decision, you know, I'm being negligent because I'm giving a guy an option to kill himself, you know? Because even if he listens to a doctor who says you must take it, and listen, somebody says you mustn't take it, then he'd say, maybe I'm listening to my doctor because he's my doctor. And he made that decision based on what I told him to make an informed decision. So he went with his doctor. So I stopped saying that. I said, my advice is don't take it. Just don't take it. Okay. Now the thing is, families are fighting about this. I mean,
oh yeah.
I know about it. And families are, children are forcing their parents. I had a patient the other day, a person the other day contacted me. She said, She's in about 60s or so. She said, I really didn't want to take this vaccine, doctor, but my daughter forced me to take it and I had to take it. And now my nose is bleeding, right? Now she contacted me just a few weeks later, she had to take the second dose. And she just contacted me, I think it was yesterday. She said, I don't want to take the second dose, but they're forcing me to take the second dose. So I said, she must join the group, the COVID regret group, because that's where I'm discussing these issues, you know. So I'm just see if she'll join the group. But this is what we're dealing with. You see, we're dealing with shedding now. Shedding is even worse because now the person
that's taken confirmed the shedding.
The shedding's confirmed. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it's not only spike protein that's being shed, because graphene does enhance the shedding of protein. I mean, there's studies now. Okay. So graphene actually enhances the shedding of protein. But also what's happening, graphene is a powerful conductor. So once it's in the body and it's at the body temperature, it starts conducting, electricity. Now, when electrons flow, that's how you get electromagnetic radiation. When electrons flow, that's electricity, but you also get a magnetic field forming. When electrons flow, you get a magnetic field forming. So you get that's what's called electromagnetic radiation, right? And so when the graphene it's a superconductor, and then basically you're getting radiation coming off these people who have been vaccinated. So not only are they shedding spike protein, they're giving off radiation, they're transmitting radiation also. So if you're around a person who's been vaccinated, and I've had people tell me, doctor, I feel very sick. I've been around these people been vaccinated and I just don't feel well at all. So this is what we're dealing with, you see. And it's because they want to connect people up to the grid, to the smart grid. This is technocracy and transhumanism, right? So they want to connect you to they're creating a hive mind. They want to control everybody's thoughts. So graphene allows them to do that. Because graphene integrates with your nervous system, with your neurons, with your synapses, integrates with it, and now it responds to certain frequencies. So they can control your thoughts and your beliefs just by manipulating the graphene with frequencies. So anyway, so they want to create a hive mind. Everybody must think the same, do the same thing, no individual thinking. It's like it's a hive mind, right? It's transhumanism, technocracy. They're connecting them, you know, to the smart grid, the internet of everything, connecting human beings and devices all together in the smart grid, and to the central server where AI processes this data and then sends instructions back to you to control your behavior, right? This is serious mind control. So these people are giving off this radiation because it's basically connecting them up to the grid, you see, to the central server. Now, it sounds like science fiction, but I spoke about this years ago. I said, this is happening. This is going to happen. I mean, I studied mind control. I spoke about electromagnetic mind control. The podcast is out there. And I said, this is going to happen. This is the Internet of Things, Internet of Everything. This is technocracy coming about. This is transhumanism. There was a guy in Russia not too long ago. He hacked into the dark web. He hacked into the dark web and he found the server, which is this one guy that he knew. And he looked for his records. This guy was vaccinated. And he found his records and he found all his biometric data on the server. And it was telling him at that time when he was making the video that this person is sleeping. They knew exactly what was going on with that individual, you know, in real time. And so it's already happening. It's not like it's going to happen. I mean, transhumanism is here. I think people are becoming cyborgs now, you know, being merged with nanomachines and so forth. So it's a serious issue. And, you know, and you can't talk to people anymore because, as I said, the mind control is too powerful. Yes. You see, when Allah stops his guidance, the way I see it is like this. Because of the disobedience, Allah's allowed the shaitan to guide you. Now, that's, you become satanic. You develop these beliefs, these satanic beliefs. So the shaitan is guiding you. And nobody can talk to you because now the shaitan is guiding you. And then you develop the spiritual disease. And no human being can actually help you with your heart that's diseased, your spiritual heart that is diseased. So it's a crazy situation. It's very bad. I mean, the way I see it, it's very bad. And I don't know, only Allah can turn it around and, you know, stop this madness. Yeah.
Dr. Kristen, have you seen or heard any reports about behavioral changes with people who have submitted to the witches group?
Submitted to the?
To the witches brew.
To the witches brew.
Pharmaceutical concoction.
Not any patient of mine, but I've heard stories. I've definitely heard stories of people saying this person that they know took this injection and now their behavior has changed. You know, they're just different people. They're very apathetic. They don't have any motivation. They just basically a different person, you know. It just doesn't look like the same person, you know.
I've heard a lot about aggressive behavior.
I've heard that also.
And
I've heard stories on it. Yeah.
I thought it was, you know, all just jumping to conclusions until I actually saw it personally. So what do you think that's about?
I would imagine it's the changes happening in your nervous system and in your mind. You've been injected with the graphene. They're controlling you with electromagnetic radiation now. So your behavior is changing. I mean, your behavior stems from your emotions and your feelings. And that stems from your beliefs and your thoughts. So thoughts, beliefs, emotions, feelings, behavior. And so once they control that, they control your behavior. So people are thinking differently. They're feeling differently, you know, different emotions, different thoughts, and behavior is different now, you know. They're triggering the stress response and so forth. They can make a whole group of people scared and fearful, you know.
No,
you go ahead.
What about all these variants? Where is this coming from? We don't even have something that's isolated and we have a new variant, which they can't test for anyway, because the test that they were using is, you know, doesn't even test for that, test for genetic material. So what is going on here? Are they just grabbing this from the air, or what is it?
Look, I always tell people, you must understand the mindset of your enemy. You know, if you don't understand, look, the first thing you must know that, the question I used to ask people is, many years ago when this question came to mind is, I went out and asked people this question because it came to mind, it's like somebody was telling me, obviously my own thinking, but it's like, it said, what I was thinking was, go out and ask the people, what is the first thing you must know in order to win a war? So I said to myself, I think I'm going to do that. So I went out and I asked a lot of people that question, what is the first thing you must know in order to win a war? And everybody got it wrong. Everybody could answer me. They said you must know your enemy, and that's not the first thing. You must know your enemy, and we come back to that now. But that's not the first thing. Then they would say, okay, you must know yourself. Or they would say yourself first and then your enemy first, or the other way around. I said, yes, you must know both of these things, your enemy and yourself, but that's not the first thing. The first thing you must know in order to win a war is that you are in a war, okay? If you don't know you're in a war, then the enemy is going to decimate you because you're not going to be defending yourself, and that's the end of the road for you. And this is what's happening right now, you know? And I said this years ago. So coming back to your enemy's mind. You asked me a question before I went off with a tangent. What was the question again?
So asking about these variants and what that nonsense is about.
The variants. So the mind, you see, the mind is the primary frame of causality. So very important to understand how the enemy's mind works. Your enemy is a Satanist, right? And Satanists work through deception. So deception is the modus operandi of diabolical minds. They work through deception. In other words, they use deception to achieve their goals. So they deceive you. So now they're telling you there's a variant. There's an alpha, beta, gamma, delta. They make it all up, right? If you're a thinking person and you understand that verse that I mentioned to you in the Quran, "Atu buranakum in kuntum sadikin," produce your evidence if you are truthful. Because everything flows from that, right? Flows from your evidence. If the virus doesn't exist, because nobody has actually proven that it does exist, then how can you have anything varying from something that doesn't exist? Because you only have a variant if you have something to vary from, okay? So the variant comes from the original virus. There's a slightly different variant of the original virus. If there's no original virus, how can you have a variant? So anybody who believes there's a variant obviously doesn't know that the virus doesn't exist. They believe the virus exists, so now there's a variant. So it's deception again. It's all deception. That's how shaitan works, through deception. And the verse, the instruction in the Quran is, do not be deceived by shaitan. Do not worship shaitan and do not be deceived by shaitan. You see, that's a direct divine instruction. And obviously you're choosing to disobey it. So what can you do? The law kicks in and then you get deceived, you see. And you get the negative consequences of, you know, disobeying divine instruction. It's a bit of a crazy situation because, I mean, the Quran is such a powerful, the most powerful book. It's got everything in there. And it's amazing how shaitan has managed to get virtually the whole world away from the scriptures, virtually the entire world away from the scriptures. I mean, we're just talking about somebody post there a little video saying the people, the globalists or something to the effect that they're afraid of Islam. You know, they're afraid of Islam. Because Islam is a religion that doesn't want to have anything to do with usury. and I posted back, I said, look, there's no such a thing as an Islamic country. Every country in the world follows the satanic financial system, usury-based, riba-based financial system. There's no Islamic countries. Obviously, people can fool themselves and say, yeah, we're a Muslim country, Islamic country. But if you look at the important aspects of what makes a society harmonious and functional is economics, your financial system, your healthcare system, and so forth, right? Your legal system. And if these are not in keeping with your natural law, divine instruction, then you're not an Islamic country, first of all. And you're not gonna have a harmonious country. You're gonna have chaos in your country. And it's happening in most countries around the world, okay? So anybody who says, you know, they're living in an Islamic country or, you know, people are scared of the Muslims, you know, because they don't want to have anything with riba, you know. If you look at what their governments are doing, their governments are actually part and parcel of the agenda. They're actually under direct control of the globalists. Go to Saudi Arabia, supposedly the home of Islam. You have rituals in the haram now, you know, which looks like Luciferian rituals. Mm-hmm. You know, people social distancing, wearing masks, you know. That looks like a Luciferian ritual to me, you know. You
have giant phallus out there.
Absolutely. You've got this huge building, you know, right?
Yeah.
Opposite, next to the haram, which looks like a Masonic temple. If you look at the architecture of a Masonic temple, that clock tower looks just like that, you know. You know, people are still talking about Islamic countries, you know. Yeah, Muslims who are obviously still Muslims, mu'min, people who believe, you know. But the country itself, if the government, you know, is basically allied with the globalists and propagating and promoting the agenda, there's not an Islamic country, you know. But there obviously be Muslims in that country, real Muslims. So, yeah, I coined the term epipolitics to describe the control of politicians and governments by factors and forces above them. So what you're seeing is epipolitics, the control of governments around the world by forces and factors above them. And they're just the puppets, basically. Your president of your country, he is just a puppet, basically, implementing the globalist agenda on behalf of his puppet masters, basically. Yeah.
So I'm sure you saw that the end of last month, the CDC came out and said that they would no longer be supporting the PCR test. And that by the end of December, what is that about?
I saw that, but according to some reporters, you know, they just want to make it more acceptable. They do it in a slightly different way. They're not going to get rid of it completely. It's again deception, it's again a fraud, it's a crime. Anybody who uses the PCR test to diagnose anything is actually committing a crime. Simple. Committing a crime, committing fraud, engaging in deception, basically lying. Because the PCR test is not a diagnostic test. It doesn't diagnose anything. You can't diagnose anything using the PCR test. In fact, it's not me saying this. The guy who actually developed this technique, it's not a test even, it's a technique. It's a replication technique. It takes genetic material and replicates it based on the primers, you know, that's put in there. So it looks for that genetic sequence and then it replicates it so that, you know, you get a lot of that sequence, you know, so it replicates genetic material. That's all it does. It's not telling you where that material came from, whether that person is sick, you know, what animal or human or whatever, you know, that material came from. Nothing of the sort. It just replicates genetic material. So obviously these diabolical minds, you know, and in fact, Kerry Mullis, he was the guy, and he passed away. Very conveniently passed away before the scandemic was announced, because he would have destroyed them completely. He would have kept saying, hey, that's my diagnostic technique, and it's not to be used to diagnose COVID-19. So to prevent that from happening, they just basically depopulated him, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not a diagnostic test at all. It's actually a replication technique.
And I was reading this is what was used for Ebola as well.
They use it for a range of infectious conditions. If you go to a pathology form, yeah, in South Africa, there's the pathology labs that give out these forms so doctors can tick off what tests they want to have done. If you go to the infectious diseases side, there's like a whole list of them, PCR tests for that, PCR tests for that. It's crazy. It's just insane. They make a lot of money using these, these fake.
They're expensive.
Very expensive. And the Rothschilds, apparently, he patented this PCR thing a few years ago before the scandemic was announced. Patented the PCR test for SARS-CoV-2, apparently. That's what I hear. I'm not surprised, of course, because he knew all the money he was going to make, you know. Anyway.
So crazy. What do you think has happened to these handful of presidents that have conveniently, you know, fallen off the face of the earth over the past year?
Look, I always say, you know, bi-idhnillah, with the permission of Allah. Everything's happened with the permission of Allah. And Allah said in the Quran, you will die at your appointed time, at your divinely appointed time. When I say you will die, that's when you will die. But if you look at the circumstances of those presidents and what their stance was, all anti-vaccine, all anti-against, you know, this deception. That's what they had in common. They were all resisting vaccinating their population, their people. And they all just disappeared off the planet, you know, they all died, you know. So it's not a coincidence. If you threaten the agenda and you're in a position of influence, like a president of a country, then they're not going to allow you to do that, because they need to achieve their goals. They need to control the entire world through technocracy and transhumanism. Because obviously this is their agenda, to depopulate the world by 95%, they say by 2025, 2030, and to make sure that they control everybody, convert everybody into automatons, transhumanists, automatons, unthinking, you know, cyborgs. And then they themselves will be in power and control. That's what they want to achieve. And anybody who threatens that agenda, threatens those goals, or tries to prevent them from achieving those goals, you're gonna see, you know, the end of your life, basically. And that's basically what that's a satanic mind. You're basically nothing. You know, they don't care about you dying and you're the president of a country, because in their mind, nobody can touch them. We just put in another president, and that president will then listen to what we have to say. And that's what happened in Tanzania, because when the president, I forget his name, in Tanzania, he died, and then a female president was put in place, and then she suddenly joined the World Health Organization.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I forget his name. For president, I forget his name. Anyway, yeah. Magufuli, that's his name, from Tanzania. President Magufuli, yeah. Anyway.
So what is next? Because I see the walls closing in. And I see it as though people who are on the fence, they're going to have to make a decision quickly. And those of us who have made our decision are going to have to stick with that. What do you see coming on the horizon?
Look, you just have to resist. You can't, like I was speaking to my daughter the other day, I was trying to make a point. I asked her, what is a Muslim? I said, duh, Dad, how can you ask you such a question? I said, no, answer me.
Tell no,
me
it's an important question to be asking now.
Yeah, so I said, answer the question. She said, okay. She said, obviously a Muslim is somebody who submits to the will of Allah. That's fundamentally what a Muslim is. Allah gives you instructions, you say, I follow them, and submitting to the will of Allah, all right? So I said, how would you describe people who are social distancing, wearing masks, taking vaccines, getting angry at people who don't take vaccines, wearing masks in the mosque, you know, doing all these funny things. How would you describe them? She said, okay, Dad, based on your first question, I will say that these people are submitting to the will of Shaitan. She's brilliant. You got 100% pass rate for this test. Because that's exactly what you're dealing with. You're dealing with people who are worshiping Shaitan, submitting to the will of Shaitan, but calling themselves Muslim at the same time. And the point I was trying to make here now to answer your question is that we need to be very careful that we don't do that. Because that's going to come, it's coming to that. Where you're going to take the vaccine because you're scared, you know, they're going to throw you in jail. You're scared, you know, you're going to, something bad is going to happen to you. It just means you don't have any tawakkul, no trust in Allah. And so you'll start worshiping Shaitan, follow his orders to take the vaccine because you're scared of going to jail. You're scared this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Bidnillah, anything or everything happens with the permission of Allah. Your time is your time. When your time is to die, that's when it's your time to die. That's, nobody can stop that. These Satanists, they want to live forever. That's why they have technocracy and transhumanism. That's their goal, immortality. Look at Ray Kurzweil. He's heading up this singularity and all of this nonsense that they're doing. They want to live forever. And that comes from Iblis. Iblis promised immortality to Nabi Adam. You know, just eat this and then you'll be live forever. You know, that's Satanism, right? So they want to live forever. We can't live forever. No, nothing lives forever. We're not going to live forever. And if you bend your knee and buckle to Shaitan's dictates, satanic dictates, then you're basically worshiping Shaitan. You're submitting to the will of Shaitan. And that's your choice. You may have forgotten about the Day of Judgment. I don't know. But if you still believe in the Day of Judgment and you do that, then there must be something wrong with you, because you can't believe in the Day of Judgment and submit to the will of Shaitan at the same time. I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all. So you either don't believe in the Day of Judgment, which Allah says in the Quran anyway, that most people don't believe in the Day of Judgment. This is Allah's words in the Quran. Most people, when it comes to the matter of meeting with their Lord, they don't believe. So most people will submit to the will of Shaitan because they don't fundamentally at a subconscious level believe in the Day of Judgment. And this is in the Quran.
Yes, subhanAllah.
And so... So what I'm saying is that you must just be very careful that you don't suddenly start worshiping Shaitan, you know, submitting to the will of Shaitan because you're scared Shaitan's going to kill you or throw you in jail, you know. So to answer your question, what do we have to do? We have to just resist. We just say, no, you're not going to inject me with anything. I actually said this on the radio years ago when I spoke on vaccines. You can listen to that podcast. At the end of the podcast, I said, if anybody comes to me with a needle, we're going to fight. If they want to fight, we're going to fight. We're going to fight verbally or we're going to fight physically. It's on the podcast years ago. I said, I spoke about vaccines. I said, if anybody can, and I'm a doctor, you know, I've been giving injections, right? And I knew, right? So I said, if anybody, and I was speaking on vaccines at that time, the podcast was there. At the end of that podcast, you'll hear me say, if anybody comes to me with a vaccine, wants to inject me, we're going to fight. Going to fight verbally or we're going to fight physically. But I'm not going to allow anybody to violate my fitrah.
You know, Dr.
Christian, because I believe sounds, in a day.
Exactly.
Because I believe in a day of judgment.
You know, and that sounds crazy right now. What you said sounds extreme. It sounds radical. It blows my mind how people have willingly given away this last little bit of sovereignty they have. Just here, take it. Here, have my arm, have my body. I don't care what's in this. You said I can travel again. I can have my goodies again, please.
That is a lack of self-respect. That's a lack of self-respect, a lack of self-love. I developed a model, Sister Aziza, to explain why the world is in such chaos. I developed a model. I initially called it the Ikra model, okay, the read model. And then I realized, not a good name, because a lot of people don't like to read, okay? So I call it the read, look, and listen model, okay? So you read proper information, you get proper sources, books and so forth, and you look at videos or whatever, and you listen to audios and people speaking and so forth. So it's called the read, look, and listen model, because it basically starts with acquiring information. That's why you must read, look, and listen at authentic sources, right? Acquiring information. I'm not going to go through the whole model. It's just, you know, it's better to do it on a PowerPoint presentation because then people can see it clearly. But the point I was trying to make here is that it starts with acquiring proper information, true information. And then you become truly knowledgeable, and then you develop consciousness, true consciousness, holistic consciousness, and holistic intelligence and wisdom and so forth, so that you can recognize evil and act in a wise way. And you develop self-respect and self-love. You know, I'll explain the whole model. And that's on the one side. The other side is if you acquire the wrong information because you're reading the wrong stuff, you're listening to the wrong stuff. So you become partially conscious. You become partially knowledgeable. You don't have true knowledge. And you become information deficient and disinformation overloaded. And you lose self-respect and you don't love yourself. And you can't recognize evil and you perpetrate evil. And then you become part of the problem of the chaos and disharmony in the world. So these people that you know will just take the vaccine, it stems from a lack of information deficiency disorder, I call it, and disinformation overload disorder. And they have a low level of consciousness, low level of holistic intelligence, they don't have holistic consciousness and so forth. They don't love themselves, they don't respect themselves. And so they just allow anything to be done to themselves. You know,
and you can see it in their eyes.
You can see it clearly. So they will just line up for the vaccine. Please inject me, you know, that's fine.
They go to the drive-thru.
Exactly. The drive-thru is like buying Kentucky, you know, driving through.
Exactly.
Same thing. It's insane. So it's coming to that. I mean, I hear they actually, the military is now forcing people.
Yes.
It was Canada, Australia, somewhere.
The U.S.
The U.S., yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, the military, I mean, forcing them down and injecting them. This is Satanism, of course. I mean, this is subjective morality. It should start with the evidence. If they said there is a virus, look, there's a virus, we know there's a virus, and you are really a danger, you must be vaccinated. If it's all true, yeah, of course. We don't want to be, you know, rejecting, you know, what's right. Okay, if there is a virus and you can prove there's a virus and you can prove that the vaccine is safe, and it's going to prevent us from, you know, getting the virus and getting sick and whatever you're saying it's going to do. Yeah, we'll do it. But you've done none of the sort. You haven't showed us the evidence that the virus exists.
Yes, they did. They have that little cartoonish picture
that CGI, you know, the computer generated picture. You know, I see that. They've got all of that. It's all deception, you know. But they want to vaccinate you. They want to inject you because you have to be injected because we say so. This is tyranny. This is fascism, tyranny, Satanism, whatever you want to call it. It's not human. It's not decent. It's not in keeping with your natural disposition in harmony with how you were created as a decent, conscious human being with conscience, morality. You know the difference between right and wrong. That we're told in the Quran. Allah says in Surah Shams, I created the soul. And I taught the soul, I taught human beings before they came to this dunya, what is right and what is wrong, what is evil and what is good. Allah says, He taught us that. So when you are born, you have that knowledge in you. It doesn't come from you. It comes from Allah. It's in the Quran. And they've proven that. with scientific experiments at 3 months of age, 3 months, 3 months, baby hasn't gone to school yet, only 3 months, knows the difference between right and wrong, evil and good. They've done experiments which shows. How did the baby know that? Because Allah says, I taught.
Oh, so it's not subjective.
That's not subjective. Now, the Satanists, they say, we do whatever we think is right.
And it changes.
If it suits us today, it suits us. If it suits us to basically beat you up and inject you with a poison, it suits us.
We'll for the greater good.
Tomorrow we may regret it and say, oh, sorry, we were wrong. We won't do that again. Like, in South Africa, we had the apartheid, you know mm-hmm. the apartheid those years. So if you were not pale skinned, you could sit on a bench somewhere, go to a bathroom somewhere. And if your skin is a bit too dark, you couldn't sit on that same bench, you know. So that was the law, you know, in those years. Then when apartheid fell, then no, if you had a bit of a darker skin, you know, you could sit on that bench now. So the law changed, you know. So it's not really law. It's actually the color of law. It's man's whims and fancies. He mm-hmm. makes these rules and regulations to suit himself at that time. This is all Satanism. Satanists are running governments, basically. It's all Satanism. So this is what we're dealing with. And people don't really understand that. Anyway. So
for those of us in the know, you said we need to keep resisting. What does that consist of? Obviously, you know, stay away from me with these injections. But beyond that, should people be organizing, you know, finding alternative means? Because I know grocery stores are on the horizon as far as not being able to allow people to go there. Like, what should people be doing?
Oh, that's a very good question. You know, I've been trying to get off grid for a long time. I've been part of a few groups, and it's easy to talk about these things. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to talk about them, and it's nice to talk about them, but to actually put them into action is not easy. So most of us can't leave the city, because that would be first prize. Leave the city, get off grid, be self-sufficient. You know, that would be the first prize. But you can't have billions of people doing that. It's not possible. It's not practical also. It's not possible for most people. They just can't up and leave and go live in the mountains or in the farm somewhere. It's just not practical, not possible. So what you have to do is do the best that you can in the city. So I know my brother, he's basically securing his home. You know, he sunk a borehole in his front yard actually a few months ago.
So he got
a borehole. You know, you sink a borehole. It's like a deep well type of thing. So you sink, you go right down to the groundwater level, and then you tap into that water supply. So you have your own water supply coming from the groundwater below your property, basically. It's called a borehole. Mm. And so he's got his water supply, you know, his security is going, solar panels. So he's basically trying to get off-grid or self-sufficient in the city. That, I think, is basically what most people are going to have to do. You know, secure yourself in the city. But now the radiation, you also have to basically protect yourself against that. And I'm giving a talk, a webinar next week on how to protect yourself against electromagnetic radiation.
And that's the 18th, correct?
And on the 18th, yeah. Okay. I'm doing that. So there's many things you can do while you're in the city, you know, but you have to defend. Look, when it comes to the injections, you just have to say no. Look, it's not mandatory in this country yet. So I don't know why people are saying, you know, my employer is forcing me to take the vaccine. Because he's going to fire me.
It's not technically, they're not really forcing you. No, they're telling you, you take it or we're going to have to terminate you. So that's not really a force. You just have to make a decision.
Yeah. They can't fire you because people shouldn't do that. You know, they shouldn't take the injection. And then if they do get fired, then they have legal recourse, you know. But if you just leave your job because the employer said, you know, if you don't get vaccinated, then you can't work anymore. You just leave. Then that you're putting yourself in a difficult situation. You shouldn't leave. If they fire you, then you have recourse to the courts, because that's illegal what they're doing, unconstitutional. So people shouldn't panic. I mean, nobody's going to force you to take the vaccine. It may come to a point where the military will come in, like we just spoke about. But we're not there yet in this country. And I give people this a notice for the employers, and it outlines, you know, what their responsibility is if this person they're forcing, they're coercing to take the vaccine gets injured or dies, you know. What's going to be the consequences for them? So I've got an entire form that I give to people who come to me and say, Dr. Kirsten, My employer wants me to be vaccinated and I don't want to be. Then he says, look, you're going to fire me. So I said, well, give him this form, let him read through it or her, and then get back to you. Still waiting for some people to get back to me, because this form outlines everything. It tells the employer exactly what they're heading for. If they force this person to be vaccinated and the person gets injured or dies, they're going to be in serious trouble. So that's what you need to do. You need to fight back, you know, with everything you got. Because this is not acceptable. It's just not acceptable. It's just not acceptable. For me, it's not acceptable. It's just non-negotiable. There's not even something to discuss. End of story. I don't discuss it. It's my body. It's my life. It's my unalienable rights that the Almighty gave me. I don't care about you if you don't love yourself or you don't have any self-respect. That's your problem, not mine. The Almighty gave me unalienable rights. And he told me not to violate my fitrah. Don't violate my natural discipline. Don't throw myself into destruction. It's in the Quran. Allah says, don't throw yourselves into destruction. Now you want me to disobey God's instruction and be punished for that. I mean, are you silly or what is wrong with you? You know, I'm not going to do something stupid like that. And I don't know what's wrong with you to even ask me to do something stupid like that. It's just a reflection of your stupidity, you know. So you must tell these people these things straight out, you know. Don't ask me to do stupid things because you are stupid. You know, I don't do stupid things, you know, because I try to think about my life and I try to follow divine instruction. Allah says I must do certain things. I try to do it. And who are you? You weren't even on the planet a few years ago. You weren't even on the planet. And in a few years time, you're not even going to be on the planet anymore. So why must I listen to you? Who are you actually? You explain to me. You weren't even on the planet a few years ago. So what gives you the authority to come and tell me what to harm myself? What gives you the authority to tell me to harm myself? You know, who are you? Come on, get real now. Maybe you lost it somewhere along the line, you know. So getting real now, you know.
No, that is so true. And most people are afraid to even say that.
Yeah.
They'd be shocked by what you just said.
No, I've been stopped by police. I used to drive around the common law number plates, which is outside of the corporate system, a few years ago. I still have them. I don't use a vehicle now because it's very old now. But I was stopped. I mean, I was stuck. I'll tell you a story once with my common law number plate, my common law license disc and so forth. And the police stopped me. And as I was driving up to him, he jumped into the road and it was a random stop. He stopped me. And as he stopped me, he looked at my number plate. So he came across to the driver's side and he says to me, "What's that?" And I said to him, "What, my number plates?" He says, "Yes." I said, "Common law." That's all I said. I looked at him and I said, "Common law." And I said nothing else. So now he looked a little flustered because he thought I was going to keep talking, you know, and I didn't say anything. I just said, "Common law." So he felt a bit uneasy because, like, you know, so he went around to the front of the car, looked at the license disc. So he starts reading the license disc and it explains, you know, this vehicle is operating in common law, blah, blah, blah. And any interference with this, with the driver and the vehicle will make you liable to a fine of 25,000 Rand. 25,000 Rand. So now you can see he gets such a shock when he read that. So he calls his partner and says, come here. Why did that go off? Pretty strange. He calls his partner and his partner reads it and they both look at each other. And now they're confused, you know, because there's not a corporate license disc, the city of Cape Town. It's just a common law, natural law license disc. So he comes around to my side again and he says to me, "What is this? You know, what is this?" He's just confused, you know, he's confused. So I said to him, "Look, me and this vehicle are operating in common law jurisdiction and you operating in corporate jurisdiction. Do you know the difference?" And you know what he says to me? He says to me, "Oh, it's okay, you can go, man." He tells me I can go. So the point I'm trying to make is that you have to stand up to this tyranny, because if you don't, it's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy you completely. If you don't stand up to tyranny, then you have no self-respect, you don't love yourself, and you don't care about your children and the future, because they have no future and you have no future, because that's really the plan. If you look at the goals of the New World Order, you will be horrified to see what these people are planning. what they've already done and what they're planning. You'll be completely horrified. And if it doesn't horrify you, then I was right. You don't have any self-respect. Maybe I was even worse than right. You know, you're fast asleep, actually. You're actually sleepwalking your way through life. So this is what we're dealing with, Sister Aziza. It's serious stuff. It's very serious stuff. Yeah. I'll send you the webinar I did the other day.
Okay.
On transhumanism, technocracy, and the artificial agenda. I'll send you the link. Okay, they posted it on BitChute. So I'll send you that link. Yeah. You can watch it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. So we have the linking up to the Starlink satellites and what else?
Well, from what I hear this month, Elon Musk Starlink satellite system is going to be activated. Internet of Things, you know, hooking up all these devices. So the transhumanist agenda is basically to change your genome, mm-hmm. to put in this graphene in your body so that you can control you, you know, make you a cyborg. Technocracy is about controlling society, and transhumanism is about controlling the humans that make up society, okay? So technocracy and transhumanism work together. You know, they're inseparable. So they want to change society using, the word technocracy really means control by the skilled or rule by the skilled. The word teke means skilled, and kratos means rule. So technocracy means rule by the skilled. So they're looking to develop a world or create a world where there'll be no politicians. It's called a scientific dictatorship, where the world will be ruled by technically skilled scientists and engineers and so forth. That's technocracy, right? Scientific dictatorship. And in transhumanism is changing the human beings that make up that society so that they can be controlled, you know, completely. And I'm not talking about control. I'm talking about complete and utter control. Everything about your life will be controlled, everything. They've got the technology, they took out a patent. It's called the Body Data Activity ID 2020 cryptocurrency patent, something like that, where your body, your activity that you engage in will be uploaded to the AI server and then recorded. And then you will be allocated cryptocurrency, central bank digital currency, based on your body, your activity that you've done. So they've allocated tasks to you and you haven't done it, they'll know about it because your body will be transmitting that data to them. So if you haven't done it, you'll get no currency. This is where we're heading. It's complete and utter control of every aspect of your life. The economy is not going to be price-based, it's going to be resource-based. They'll know exactly how much energy you're using to the very single unit. And obviously, if you don't deserve any energy, then you won't get it, you know? So
is that part of the social credit score?
That's correct, yeah, yeah. What's happening in China already, by the looks of it, you know? China was the pilot project, and so they perfected it in China, or almost perfected it, and now they're rolling it out to other countries around the world. Technocracy, ruled by, you know, it's a new world order, control, central governance system, one central government, one religion, one military, one currency, cashless society, all of these things. And repeated mandatory injections, vaccinations, repeated, continuously injecting or vaccinating people. So this is where we're heading, Sister Aziza. And we are not only heading there, we're actually there already. It's just gonna get much, much worse. But we're already there. I mean, it's not like it's still going to happen sometime in the future. We're already in technocracy and transhumanism. It's just going to get much worse, actually. Yeah.
One last question about that exercise that came out, I think it was last year, from Johns Hopkins about the SPARS exercise. Because I read things that this whole COVID thing is supposed to go on until, Allah knows best, but 2025, and then they're transitioning to something else. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, look, according to the World Bank website, this project, COVID project, comes to an end in 2025. They're going to always have something new on the horizon and always going to be implementing something different because it's the Hegelian dialectic. They're always going to be creating a problem in order to implement things that they want to do, but call it the solution to the problem. But it's basically what they want to implement which they would not have been able to do without the perception of a problem or the creation of an actual real problem. So whatever they're going to be doing, spars, whatever they're planning, and they're going to ongoing. It's been going on for a long time. It's not something new. Right. It's just that it looks like it's something new because they locked the whole world, almost the whole world down. Mm-hmm. That's what woke everybody up. But all these fake pandemics in the past, I mean, that's been happening. I was working in trauma and emergency during the fake swine flu pandemic. I mean, it was just crazy. Everybody getting tested and, you know, all this nonsense happening. And I was working in trauma and emergency. And I could see this is a joke, actually. But nobody, you couldn't really talk to anybody at the time. That was in 2009, I think. Because, obviously everybody's like, oh my gosh, you know, swine flu, blah, 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 H1N1. So they'll always create the problem because human beings will always be gullible and believe all this nonsense. But, you know, I don't think it's going to come to a point now where they're not even going to be able to think for themselves anymore, you know? So, yeah.
No, absolutely. Anyways. I was talking to someone recently and I said, do you remember Zika?
Yeah,
and it was just like collective amnesia. I don't know what it is, but people forget these ones that have happened recently. I've tried to find someone who remembers this Ebola outbreak in the US around like 2013, but no one remembers it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. They've tried this before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people
people have a short memory span. They forget stuff very easily.
That's how you can overload.
Information, you can fool them all the time because they just forget, you know. Like now, we were talking just the other day about all the people that died, that were murdered, you know, under Mao Zedong, you know, all these dictators that killed so many people, millions in the past. And we say, look, if they activate the satellite system now and millions will die, it's going to be like something new. Oh my gosh, so many millions have been killed in the past, you know, under various governments. That's all the agenda that's unfolding. It's nothing new. It's just the technology that's new and more advanced. So they can kill you much easily now without even knowing that, you know, you're being killed. You know, people think, oh, that guy just died of a heart attack. But he was actually killed, you know, with a weapon, that energy weapon. That's how they took out, I would imagine, these presidents, you know. They don't have to blow you up with a bomb or anything or, you know, with a gun, you know, shoot you. They just have these energy weapons and they just take you out like that, you know. So that technology is advanced. But the agenda is still unfolding. It's still the same agenda. Yeah.
Do you think it's possible to still wake people up at this point?
That's a very good question, Sister Aziza. I was actually asked that question, and I'll send you a little snippet from a question and answer session I had when I actually answered the question. I think it was on my transhumanism webinar in the Q&A session. Somebody asked me that very question. She said, how do we wake people up? And I said, you know, I've been trying to do this for years. And I said, I don't think we can actually wake people up. Based on my understanding now, because look, when you have a spiritual disease, like I just said earlier on, arrogance is, as I said earlier on, it's a refusal to accept the truth when it reaches you. Because that's what waking people up is, to try and let them see the truth. If you've been rendered deaf, dumb, and blind because Allah's allowed you to go astray and let the shaitan guide you, now you can't hear the truth, you can't see the truth, you can't speak the truth. You're basically deaf, dumb, and blind. So nobody can tell you anything. And so when you have this arrogance in your heart, spiritual disease of arrogance, you can't wake those people up. Those people will not hear what you're saying, they won't see what you're saying, they won't be able to speak the truth to you or hear the nothing. So it's a very sad thing to say, but only I can't help anybody. I can't wake anybody up. What I'm doing is I'm doing my duty, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says I must do. It's only Allah can change hearts. So even if somebody's involved in dawah, missionary work or whatever, they can just talk about the religion or try to explain to people the religion, but they can't change that person's heart who they try to convince, you know, to revert to Islam or whatever. That's in Allah's jurisdiction. Only Allah can do that, you know. But your duty is to speak. Your duty is to talk to people.
Convey the
Nabi
message.
Nabi Nuh, he spoke for like 900 years. 900 years. One day I was telling a friend of mine, I said to him, look, I think I'm going to stop speaking now. He said, he got horrified. He said, you can't do that. I said, why not? He said, no, you can't do that. I said, I have to, man. You know, people don't listen. And I got many other things to do. He says, listen to me. He says to me, he's a young guy. He's actually a policeman. But a very good friend of mine. He says, call me Dr. Kirsten. He said, doctor, let me tell you something. You see, Nabi Nuh, he gave dawah for like 950 years, he said. He never stopped talking. I said to him, Abdullah, I'm not Nabi Nuh. And I'm not going to live for 900 years. He said, no, but you know what I'm saying. He didn't stop talking, so you shouldn't stop talking. And I thought about that, and I said, yeah, look, it's our duty. Because on the day of judgment, Allah will ask us, you know, I gave you some knowledge. Why do you think I gave it to you? You know, just to sit on your chair and watch your, look at your computer, you know. Allah gave you some knowledge for a specific reason, to talk about it. It's Allah's duty to change hearts, right? Heal that spiritual disease. That's His, it's His jurisdiction. But our duty is to speak to people. That's our duty. So we continue speaking, you know. Alhamdulillah.
SubhanAllah. That is very true. So to segue into that, my last question for you is, for those who understand what is going on, Muslim and non-Muslim, what advice would you give them if they're feeling depressed? I hear this a lot. People are just really down in despair because they're seeing, like I said, the walls closing in. They're seeing friends and family drift away into the darkness. They're feeling alone. They see these things manifesting. They really, you know, feel like they don't have any control over it. What advice would you give to those who are feeling depressed during this time?
Funnily enough, I'm actually planning a workshop, and one of the aspects of the workshop would be, one of the presentations in that workshop would be leading yourself through the COVID chaos. Mm. How effective are you? This is about self-leadership, okay? So that's the presentation I'm planning to give at this workshop. Inshallah, hopefully it'll happen. Because I realize that question that you asked me is very crucial. People have no idea how to lead themselves, not about leading other people. Because leadership, I have a program in my institute office called Holistic Leadership, which includes self-leadership and leading others. So one aspect of leadership is leading yourself, right? Now, how effective are you in leading yourself? So the title of this presentation in this workshop, inshallah, will be the COVID-19 chaos, or something like that. Leading yourself through the COVID-19 chaos, how effective are you? Because you need a certain level of skill, the certain competencies that you need in order to deal with what you're facing. If you don't have those competencies, or they're at a very low level, you have them, but most people at a very low level. If you don't have it, then you're in big trouble, but most people have it at a very low level, then you will succumb to what the shaitan is doing to you right now. You will be scared, you'll have no confidence, you won't be able to control your emotions from what you're facing. You won't be conscientious in doing what you need to do. There's many skills that you require in order to deal with the madness that you're facing. And a lot of people are succumbing to it. A lot of people have committed suicide. There's massive, you know, suicides that happened. People are gone into depression. They've gone into panic mode, anxiety. All these things have gone through the roof, because people don't have the skills to manage themselves effectively, lead themselves effectively through the madness that they're facing. And the dystopia is not even started. The dystopia hasn't even started. You know, we're entering dystopia now, but we haven't even started the real dystopia. We haven't even entered the real dystopia. And people are really, you know, completely, they're crumbling, you know. So they need to know how to manage themselves effectively in what's happening right now and what's coming. Very important. It's an holistic war against you. If you don't realize it's an holistic war, then you won't even defend yourself. And the most important aspect of this war that they're targeting, most important aspect of yourself, of your being that they're targeting, is your spiritual aspect. You see, that's the most important aspect. Once they cut you off spiritually from your creator, they connect that, they sever that connection.
You're done.
Now you're at sea. Now the shaitan is coming in and he is guiding you. And that's your most important defense. Obviously, defending your body, defending your mind, defending your relationships, that's very crucial. But most important, defending your spiritual connection, your connection to Allah. Once you're there and Allah's giving you the protection, shaitan has no hope. Because Allah Ta'ala says, you know, The plan of Shaitan is feeble. Shaitan's plan is feeble. Allah says his plan is feeble. Allah's plan is the best of plans. But if Allah has allowed the Shaitan to guide you, now you're in big trouble. Big trouble.
Yeah.
So you must defend yourself holistically, but defend your spiritual connection, your spirituality. That's your biggest defense. Very important.
And how do people go about defending their spirituality? So I have listeners who are not Muslims. So non-Muslims first, how do they go about defending their spirituality? I already know the answer, but I want you to go ahead and say it.
Look, obviously people have different ideas. I mean, I can't talk for the non-Muslims, unfortunately, because they may not agree with me.
It doesn't matter.
But look, we all come from the same creator. I mean, as far as the Quran tells us and the Hadith, there's only one creator. I mean, if there's more than one creator, then there's going to be a huge problem in the universe, because these guys are going to be arguing with themselves all day long, you know.
Exactly.
I want my rules to be implemented. I want them to follow my instructions. Another creator will say, no, my instructions come first, you know. There's only one creator, and we all come from that creator. And the creator sent down instructions throughout history, throughout time. He didn't just create man and then say, go out there and do whatever you want to do. He created the instruction manual and he sent it down throughout history. So our duty is to follow those instructions. So that's, once you follow the instructions, you're in obedience to the creator, and then he looks upon you favorably, you know, then he protects you, and you do, you know, you try to do the best you can in terms of obeying his instructions. If you feel you can do this by yourself, you don't need the creator, you are okay. You may not be an atheist, but you just think, I can just handle this by myself. All I can say to you is good luck, you know, because I know I can't handle it by myself, because I know what I'm dealing with. I know the enemy that I'm up against. I know exactly, well, I don't know, I can't say I know exactly, but I've been studying the mindset and the agenda for a long time, and I've seen what they've done and what they can do and how they think. So I know what I'm facing, and I can categorically tell everybody on the planet, I can't face this by myself at all. And in fact, I came under serious attack, you know, and if it wasn't for the grace of Allah, I probably wouldn't have been here. But like I say, when it's your time to die, it's your time to die. But when I was in the heat of being attacked, I promise you, there's only Allah's help that got me through it, seriously. And so that's all I can say to people out there. You know, there's one creator. Maintain your connection with the creator. Ask for his help. Be obedient to his instructions. And remember that the plan of Satan is feeble, because it's also a creation of Allah. Human beings are a creation of Allah. And then the Iblis, the jinn, they're all a creation of Allah.
Yeah, so people forget that.
Exactly. They're just the creation of Allah. Only the creator is all powerful. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. No power or might except with Allah. So no matter how mighty or powerful you think you are as a jinn or a human being, you are just self-deluded. You're just deluding yourself, because tomorrow you're not even going to be here anymore. And a few years ago, you weren't even here on the planet. You didn't even exist. So what makes you so powerful? You're just deluded. You've just been led to go astray, basically. That's why you think like that. You see? Anyway. So I don't know. I hope I answered the question, Sister Aziza.
No, you did. So what about Muslims?
What can they do? Same thing. Follow Allah's instructions, you know, do the best you can. As I said, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us at this time where we should basically be going, leaving the cities and, you know, but it's not possible for everybody. So when you can't do that, then you must stay and protect yourself and defend yourself as best you can and your family. Look, the shaitan is not going to give up. The shayateen don't give up. They don't give up. They are the most organized human beings working with the jinn, most organized religion on the planet. They don't give up. They want to achieve one world government. They want to control you. Look, Iblis said so, you know, when he was banished from Jannah. Iblis basically said, I'm coming after the children of Adam from the front and the back and the left and the right. And he said also immediately, he said, and you'll find most of them ungrateful. So you'll find a lot of people today are ungrateful to Allah for what Allah's favors is given, you know, favors he bestowed upon them. But they're also ungrateful to human beings. I mean, people don't even say thank you anymore. I mean, I'm amazed sometimes. They don't even say thank you. Honestly, they just don't even say thank you. Unbelievable. So Iblis said, you'll find most of them ungrateful. But he said, I'm coming after them from the left, from the front and the back and the left and right. In my view, what he meant was, this is my interpretation, he's coming after your physical body, going to destroy that, to make you physically sick, your physiology, your physical body. He's coming after your mind, he'll make you psychologically sick, dysfunctional, which you're seeing everywhere today. He's coming after your relationships, your sociology, so he'll destroy your relationships. And he's going to come after your spirituality. He's coming after your spiritual connection, your connection with Allah. He's going to sever that. So today people are atheists, Satanists, humanists, agnostic, whatever they're calling themselves. That just means they don't have a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and that's what Iblis, he promised he's going to do that. So that's what you're seeing. And so for Muslims, they need to realize that and then defend themselves, you know, based on the attack that is happening to them, you know, the weapons deployed against them, the war that they're in. It's an holistic war. And as a Muslim, you must realize that, and even as a non-Muslim, and do the best you can, you know, to defend yourself and your family. That's your duty. That's your duty. You have a responsibility. You say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just give us unalienable rights. He gave us these rights. Obviously, it's not recognized in the satanic system. The shaitan doesn't recognize the rights that Allah gave us, the right to be free, the right to breathe air, to live in accordance with your fitrah and so forth. He doesn't recognize that. He's given you privileges in a corporate system. But and still,
rights.
Yeah, you got no rights. He doesn't recognize it. Not that you don't have them. The shaitan doesn't recognize them. And the human beings have gone along with that and say, oh, okay, you know, I'll just follow the shaitan, you know, I'll just do what he tells me to do, you know. But you have these rights. But with these rights come responsibility. You also have a responsibility. So you need to do what you need to do to be a decent human being, to protect people, to live your life in accordance with principle and not self-preservation, and so forth and so forth and so forth. It takes knowledge, information, and I said this is what my model is about, explaining to people why evil is allowed to flourish in the world. How is it that evil flourishes in the world? Why is that? And I developed a model to explain that also, basically. And maybe I'll send it to you if you're interested.
Inshallah, yes.
Sister Aziza, yeah. Anyway.
As usual, you know, this mashallah was very beneficial. Definitely some things I needed to hear to refresh and get me back to where I need to be. So jazakallah khairan for your time, Dr. Gerson, as always.
Well, Yakum, I'm so glad you have, you know, spoken to you today after such a long time, you know,
yes.
And alhamdulillah, we managed to get together and talk today. But jazakallah for giving me the opportunity again, Sister Aziza. I really appreciate it.
Yes. Anytime, you know, you have time to spare, please. You're more than welcome.
Jazakallah khairan, shukran so much. And jazakallah to the listeners out there, you know, listening to the podcast. Appreciate your time. Jazakallah khairan. Thank you very much. Shukran.
I would like to talk to you offline about something.
Sure.
Because we never talked about it before, but I have some questions about that.
Why don't you stay on for a while?
Yes, I'm going to stop recording and then we'll do that.
All right, sure.
Okay, so Dr. Kirsten, did you have those Telegram channels and your WhatsApp that you want to plug again really quick in case people want to reach out?
The groups, the channel,
yes.
The our channels and groups on WhatsApp and Telegram. I can send you the links.
Okay.
And then you can give it to them because these are links. So I'll send you the links.
Okay, inshallah.
And then you can give it to them. Yeah.
What are the names of the groups though? Like the Telegram, because I know a Telegram.
There's three groups. One is the Health Wellness Performance Institute group, HWPI Talks. There's the Charles the Virus channel. And then there's the COVID Injection Regret. I think that's about it. There's another one, which I can't remember. I think there's another one. So HWPI, Charles the Virus, COVID Injection Regret. And they're both on WhatsApp and on Telegram.
Okay.
If there's another one, I think there may be another one, but if it is, I'll send it to you. I'll send the link also. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, again, Dr. Kirsten, thank you very much. And we'll be in touch, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.